was, there was this other ripple effect. There was this group of mostly Texas college students who were involved in a musical
stomp
that they had created in Texas, yeah, at the University of Texas in Austin, and had an engagement in Houston at the I don't recall the name of that theater, but at that time that show was called Now the Revolution. Mm-hmm. And Doug Dyer was the director of that show. And when that show closed there in Houston, they came to Atlanta, and it was Now the Revolution, but they changed the name to Stomp, the original Stomp, in the studio theater.
Yeah.
And that was another major life-changing experience for me, because, again, this was a group of people that were just absolutely amazing. I went one night, night to see this show. It was a rehearsal night, actually. You know, they go into rehearsal and then before they open. And I was living around that area and pretty much in tune with whatever went on. And any little whisper of something different, you know, I was there to check it out. And so I was in there in that show, and Stomp opened, and I went up to the director after the show, and a couple other guys that were there. I said, you know, y'all need some help with this light show. They were trying to do a light show, but they were way, I mean, they were scrapping it all together with just, I mean, I'm talking about the kind of like clip lights that you paint with and everything, holding gels over them and stuff, and people holding lights, and, you know, hardly any amplification with their music and everything, and they were trying to, and they had a slide projector, and they were trying to use that as, and I said, you know, this is something I could really help you guys with. Oh yeah, this is what I need. So they introduced me to Mickey Mayfield, who was the guy that had come. He was an older guy. He wasn't a student, but he was a I guess we could say he was a partner of Doug Dyer's, who was sort of in charge of this. And Keith Herring. No, I'm sorry, wrong. Not Keith Herring. Remember his last name either, but he was doing stage lights, and this guy Mickey and Doug really wanted some help with the light show part of it, because they knew there was potential with that, and I saw potential too, and I thought,
the show was good.
Boy, I can, you know, I can really help you guys a lot with this. Well, come on, you know. And so we started scrambling around there and putting things together, and then it was time to open the show, and showtime. And so the way you saw Stomp, and I don't know how many times you did, if you did see it, but did you ever see it there in the studio theater?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever remember it reopening in Atlanta in Buckhead in 70s?
Church.
Because then, I took my mother to see it when she was in town, then up there.
Well, I can give you some info about all that too, but the beginning of all that was this time there in the studio, getting involved with them and everything. And it was just an amazing. That was a whirlwind that lasted for a couple more years. That,
and you went to Europe on tour with them, and then they came back and did the church?
That's essentially what happened. But what happened here in Atlanta as Stomp was that Bernie Gersten and Joe Papp ran the New York Public Theater and the New York Shakespeare Festival in Central Park in those days, and Bernie Gersten was one of his producers, or his sidekick producer, and they were in the audience at the Stomp, one of the Stomp performances, about a week or two. I think the engagement there was about 3 weeks, and after it had gotten heated up and had made the papers and everything, it was after a week or two there, they showed up. They were in the audience, and they were. And it was unbeknownst to any of us that they were there, but they had both gotten on there. These were top dudes.
These
were heavy New York dudes. Joseph Papp, the New York Public Theater, they both got on a plane coming down just to see this show. And of course, they had read a review from when it was in Houston called Now the Revolution, and they figured maybe they better check it out. We were in the green room, and they came back in after the show that night, introduced themselves, and they said, we would like to, if you all... See, back then, nobody owned this show. Nobody owned... It was not even published. Nobody owned the lyrics. Nobody owned the script. Nobody owned anybody. Nobody owned anything, and nobody owned anybody. It was a gaggle of mute... what was the site, you know... Got up to New York. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. I better not do that. Because he just basically said, I'd like to bring you all up to New York and produce Stomp Off Broadway at the Public Theater. Start, and oh, well, when? And this was August, which is late August. And oh, well, we need to be ready to open on October 1st. Yeah, okay, great, let's go. Sure. Why not? And school was starting, like you said.
Yeah.
And I showed up at Judy Robinson, was the registrar and the secretary in there. And I came in and said, Judy, I got somewhere to go.
I can't do it.
I can't. I'm not going
to
enroll in
school
this year. I'm going to be somewhere else. Well, the problem with that was that if you were in school, you could maintain an S1 deferment, a student deferment from the draft.
Yeah.
But once you are out and not enrolled for a semester, the registrar's office has to report that you're not enrolled. And so that's another part of the story. But I said, I don't care what happens. I'm just not going to be able to come back to school. And told my mom and my brother, and I said, I'm heading to New York. There was no way I was going to miss out on this deal. And sure enough, it was sold out 9 performances a week, sold out from October to through the holidays, up until a little break right after the holidays. And then we came back and did another little run for about 3 weeks, maybe a month. And then it closed and went into rehearsal to do Western Europe music festivals in the summer, starting in May of 70, through the summer, up until September of 1970. But all of this happened from the end of August through that winter. Coldest, baddest winter in New York City, one of New York City's worst winters. Garbage strike, snow everywhere covering up all this garbage. I hated it. I couldn't wait to get the hell out of that place. I thought, what am I thinking? And, you know, all I always sang about and dreamed about and wanted to do was go to the country, get out of there and get back to the country, which became one of the scenes in the show. That show, it morphed. I mean, it evolved. And you saw it. You know it was all about Billy and the revolution. And that Billy was never, he was a fictitious character. Well, we had a heck of a time, I'm telling you. That was an amazing time doing that, going to Europe. We met really incredible people and came back from that.
And we were all still here in school, still doing the Atlanta thing, but I remember you being gone. I remember when you came back, especially.
I came back. The first person I saw when I got back was Richard Green. And